podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi everybody, welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube and podcast channel. We are back with another match preview. This time we are casting our eye towards the midweek evening kickoff and the away game against Crystal Palace. My name's Scott, I'm your host for this one, and it's just the three of us this week. I'm joined by Daryl and Andy. Boys, how are we doing this week? It's been a long week since the last game of Newcastle football. How are we getting over it? Are we okay? Are we looking forward to some football?
I'm more scared.
I'll come to you first, mate.
Oh, okay. That's probably for the best.
I mean, I think I've needed the time just to digest what happened against Spurs, to be honest. It was such a good result to get, and it's nice to finally see a few faces coming back into training. We had the return to Callum Wilson in the middle of this week, and we also expect maybe to see the return of Kieran Trippier as well, and maybe, if we're lucky, even Miggy Almiron. So there's a few more bodies coming back from the treatment table, so we'll just have to wait and see who joins the treatment table or the treatment room as a result. But I'm looking forward to it.
Good, good. And Andy, mate, I hope you're looking forward to it. I see you've got a little fan behind you, raising the roof. So it's good to see. There he is.
Yeah, doing a bit finally tidy in this room, so there'd be weird things popping up in the background, probably. How I am? Well, Newcastle-wise, everything's great, but we're starting this recording just after that Man United game, and I'm just raging. I'm just like, I'm so annoyed. I feel like I'm not going to be able to give like an honest assessment of anything here, because I'm just so annoyed at the way that game's ended. But, you know, happily move on to Newcastle.
Fuming.
We're also recording this just after Crystal Palace have done over West Ham 5-2, so let's see how this goes. But before we jump into anything, as always, let's just get a quick word from our sponsor. The Gallagher Shots match preview is brought to you by Magpin. Magpin are the go-to site for high-quality, unofficial enamel pin badges of Newcastle United players, legends and retro kits. For more information, visit their website at magpinbadges.bigcartel.com. Right, so as I've already mentioned, this is the match preview for the Crystal Palace away game. Midweek fixture, I believe it's a reschedule because of our gallivanting in the FA Cup. It's on Wednesday, the 24th of April, 8 p.m. kickoff, not 7:45, which I find weird, 8 p.m, but there you go. At Selhurst Park, it's not on UK TV. I think they're showing Liverpool instead on Sky. No, I don't know why. What have they got to play for? Palace, I mean, they're not doing too well in regards to the league, but they have had a bit of a resurgence since changing managers. But they are sitting in 14th, 36 points. That's 9 wins, 9 draws and 15 losses. They're on a minus 14 goal difference, which has just took a bit of a bump after today. That's 42 goals scored and 56 conceded. Their last 5 is 2 wins, 2 losses and 1 draw. So that's 2 wins against West Ham and Liverpool. That's a loss against Man City and Bournemouth, and then a draw against Forest. So they're quite hard to predict. I think it's whoever turns up at the time looking at it. And as always, I've got a few little commentator stats. Not as many as last week, but I've got a few. Not great ones, but I've got a few.
Don't put yourself down. I'm sure they're great.
Well, it's not me. It's just the stats themselves. They're not the most entertaining of things. Let's put it this way: these games aren't the most entertaining of games when we play Crystal Palace. Mm. If I remember rightly, the last Crystal Palace game that was on a midweek that wasn't televised was that awful Carabao Cup game where we were all watching Sky Sports News for updates and they didn't cut to us once until the penalty shootout. And that was the year we went to Wembley. If I remember rightly, that was that game. So, not a good omen. I mean, that was at St. James's, so we'll see. But both teams have scored in just 3 of the last 15 meetings in all competitions. So there you go. So it's not very high scoring. We are unbeaten in our last 6 meetings with Palace in all competitions, and we've only conceded 1 goal in that time. And 10 of the last 15 meetings between the two sides have seen just 1 goal or less scored. and six of them have ended in a 1-0 result. So, yeah, not expecting much. I'm not expecting 5-2, although I've said that. And there we go. It's probably going to be a 5-2. So there we have it. Andy, mate, obviously the home fixture this season, we saw quite a rampant victory. I think it was 4-0, if I remember rightly.
It was, yeah. But
as I've mentioned, they've had a change of manager. They look a completely different side. We're probably not expecting the same, are we?
Well, on the manager, would either of you two be able to know his name without Googling it before we came on?
No.
Do you even know his name now?
No. I know he was at Frankfurt, but I don't know his name.
Well, I Googled it while the ad read was on there, and it's Oliver Glasner, he's called, and he's come in, and he's done pretty well, to be honest, because it's funny you say about Palace being hard to predict. In terms of the season, they're probably the easiest team to predict of anyone, because they just slide, well, they have a little flirt with relegation, and they slide into mid-table by the end of the season without fail every year. And obviously, there's been a bit of back and forth with Palace fans about Roy Hodgson and whether, you know, getting him back was the right thing. Obviously, they tried to be a bit more progressive with Vieira and it went a bit pear-shaped. And then they brought Hodgson back and it became more boring but more effective. So they've always been this sort of team who try and kick on, but it doesn't really work out for them. But now they look like a really good side again. Obviously, they were coming on the back of a massive win for them against West Ham. Didn't watch all of it, but I saw some highlights and it did look a mix of Palace looking very clinical and West Ham looking absolutely shattered from going toe-to-toe with Leverkusen, who are obviously being unbelievable this season. So difficult team to predict, really. I think everyone, when you think of Palace, you think of those young wingers they've got in Elise and Eze, who obviously sensational. Every Premier League team's going to be trying to buy them. One of those players on Football Manager where they have the little flag and it just says 9,000 clubs are interested in this player, because that's what's going to be for them. I thought I'd just rattle through the team because it doesn't really change very much. Be Henderson in goal. The team that they've just played against West Ham was a back three of Klein, Anderson and Richards, with Munoz, Wharton, Hughes and Mitchell as a midfield four, and then Elise, Mateta and Eze. And when you read the 11 out, it just seems like a very sort of average, boring team. But out of nowhere, they've just turned it on and scoring loads of goals all of a sudden. The only change I think we'll see in the team will be Joel Ward coming back in. He's obviously been the linchpin of that team and has played for them since like 1903. So he'll be straight back into the side, probably replacing Klein. But it's that front three, really. I'm sure we'll touch on it. But the team's very unlikely to change. We'll go through the injuries a bit later on as well. But just in terms of Newcastle, I wouldn't mind us setting up the same way we did just gone, where we stop players like Eze and Elise getting in behind the midfield. Because I think if we try and play an open, expansive game again, I think those two will hurt us. And obviously, we haven't been... Well, we've done a bit better in terms of not having to score three or four goals a game to get a result. But the last thing I'll just say on Palace is that before we came on, I just had a quick look at the home stats. And if you take off the five goals they've just scored, they've only scored 21 goals, which puts them just ahead of Everton, Burnley and Sheffield United. So we talk about them having all these, you know, expansive, creative players up top. But as the across the whole season, they've still been a little bit dull and maybe not hitting the full potential. So it'll be a tricky one to try and call, I think.
Yeah, obviously, Daryl, we've already touched on the home fixture this season, and obviously the game last season was a different story as well. You know, it's going to be a tough one to predict, but do you think the fact that Palace have played today and then they've only got, 2 days preparation before the game, on Wednesday, is going to have any sort of impact on how they're set up? Is it going to have any sort of impact on, you know, how we play? Bear in mind, we've had a week to prepare. They normally bite us in the arse when we've had longer to prepare. They're normally our worst performances that we've seen of late. What's your expectations going into this one?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the reverse fixture and that really comfortable win that we had in that game. And obviously last season's 0-0 draw fest that we had down there in the January, a game that I was at. And, you know, that this, you know, I'll be there on Wednesday and it'll be the sixth time I've been to Selhurst Park for this fixture in the last 11 years. So it's a game I've done quite a bit. And
can I interrupt you there, Daryl, to ask a question? I've been to Selhurst Park once and I'll give you one guess which game it was.
Was it the defeat?
Well, it was a defeat. Do you know which one?
No, which one was it?
Well, their manager was Alan Pardew, I'll just say that.
Oh, okay, enough said, yeah, okay. Yeah, we're not going to dwell on that. But, I mean, I think that we've got the advantage going into this because of the fact that we've had the longer rest period and better preparation. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we're expecting to have a couple of more lads back from injury as well. And I think that little boost that that's going to give us really should see us warming this fixture. And, you know, we're talking about goals, and, you know, Andy mentioned that Palace have only scored,
26 now, yeah, at home.
Yeah, at home. Well, we're actually on 26 away so far for this season. And a little stat that I found on this was that our current total with another 4 away games to come, and that's including the game that we're going to play on Wednesday, is so that's 26 goals, and it at present, it's our 7th highest away goals total in the Premier League. And I think, to be honest, the way we're going now, we're probably on course to either match or break the highest total that we've had. And, you know, just to run down what I've got written here. So in 2001-02, when we were absolutely mint under Bobby, we scored 34 goals in 19 games. Just last season, 22-23, 32 goals in 19 games. 93-94, 31 goals in 21 away games because the Premier League was just a little bit bigger back then. And then 95-96 was 28 goals. 2002-03, 27. 2011-12, 27. And then, as I said, currently now we're on 26. And like I say, 4 games to go and some really favourable games away from home as well. I think, you know, the way we have been scoring, you know, we put out 4 goals against Tottenham at home, and we are pretty good at scoring goals at the minute, and we've got some very in-form forward players getting those goals for us. I think we might well just set a new record.
So how many goals do we have to score then to match
that? So in the remaining 4 games, we're going to need to score at least 2 per game because we're on 26, and we need to get another 8 to match the record, and then an extra one on top, so 9 to beat the record.
We do have Sheffield United coming up, so
exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's at home though. So I'm just talking about away.
Oh, games. You're just talking about away games. Okay,
but yeah,
let's play them away again.
Applies. I mean, we've got Brentford on the last season, which is potential, depending on how the season plays out. I mean, we've got to go and play Man United at Old Trafford, and we all know how jammy they are considering what's just happened this afternoon. So I think we can probably do it. I don't see why not. You know, as impressive as we were against Spurs, it's going to have to have given us all a bit of a momentum boost. And I've got a little trivia question for you. Now, Scott, you mentioned about Palace scoring against us. Can you remember, or can you think of who might have been the last Crystal Palace player to score against us in the league?
Huh? That seems like that shouldn't be that hard.
well. So I'll give you a clue. It was back in October of 2021 in another game that I was at Selhurst Park. And it's been... I also tell you, because he's the last player to do it, it was 484 minutes ago. And they haven't scored since then.
I kind of want to say it's Wilfred Zaha then, if it was that long ago.
No, not quite.
Quite.
No. Do you want a nationality? I'll give you a nationality if you'd like one. He's Belgian. Yeah.
Oh, is that a Rio World guy?
No. Striker.
Who's Belgian? Mateta or Edouard?
No.
I can't think of any well Palace players. Does he still play for them now?
No, I don't think he does.
Oh, is it the one? Didn't have one on. Oh, who was there on loan from Chelsea?
No, it's not Divock Origi.
No.
Ex Liverpool and ex Aston Villa.
Striker.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
This is great audio content, by the way.
It is, isn't it?
I'm hoping though, the listeners are scratching their head as well.
Just put us on the top of misery, dog. Yeah,
it's Christian Benteke.
Benteke.
Yeah, so he was the last Palace player.
LeBron James celebration.
Yeah, he's the last Palace player to score against us in the Premier League. God, all those blimey. Months and years and minutes ago. So, yeah, I mean, but yeah. So,
I mean, that must be one of the only goals he scored for Palace, was it?
Quite possibly, aye. And because we don't even have to think or worry about Card Watch anymore, that's in the bin, it's gone because it's all passed over and everybody's
well, we should change Card Watch to be,
yeah, oh, how many minutes
how soon will Bruno get a yellow card?
And before I end this little bit, yeah, I've got our record at Crystal Palace as well. So our Premier League record at Selhurst Park is 13 games played. We've won 6, drawn 5, and only lost 2. So the record,
I saw one of the two. Come on,
is favourable. It's very favourable. So we stand a good chance, I think.
Right. I tell you what I'm always going to do right now, because some people might not have seen this, because a lot of people on YouTube normally switch off.
Oh,
we're going to do ref watch right now, so people know what this is.
Everybody's favourite bit.
The jingle's coming on. It's coming on way before everything else. We're going to do ref watch. So, Daryl, who is... I know it's a man, because I looked it up, so I know the name of the person. So I can actually say, who is the man in charge?
Right. Is it a Luton fan?
Assuming he identifies as a man. Obviously, it's 24, so I can't obviously assume that. But yes, who is the man in the middle it's not even the weekend, this Wednesday evening.
Well, just to pick up on what Andy's hinting at there, it's definitely not a Luton Town fan, and we're not batshit like Nottingham Forest's official Twitter account is to start blaming things like that on results. So the man in the middle is going to be Tom Bramall from Greater Manchester. It's his third appointment with Newcastle this season, and his first away game involving us.
You say he's not a Luton fan, but wasn't he the 4-0 Luton game?
He was the 4-0 Luton game. That was
I remember from the last ref watch.
You contributed on ref watch.
Boom. I've got a memory somewhere in this head of mine.
So yeah, his first appointment this season was the 2-0 home win against Burnley, and then he obviously did the 4-4 game against Luton back in February. And his Premier League record this season, he's only officiated 9 games. However, 9 games, 45 yellow cards in 9 games, and 2 reds.
Bruno's getting sent off.
VAR is going to be Chris Kavanagh, and I don't think he's a Palace fan, so I think we're all right.
We're all right. No, but is he a Man U fan or a Spurs fan or a West Ham fan? These are the questions that Nottingham Forest need to know about.
Yeah,
is Lee Cattermole? Is it Lee Cattermole? No.
No, yeah, Mark Clattenburg,
that's the one.
If he's on VAR, I'll be worried.
Memory's gone. He's got a hold of that Twitter account and he's going crazy. We'll just turn back to Palace quickly. Thanks for RefWatch, Daryl. And for those of you who haven't seen that before, we normally do it at the end of the show, but I'm switching it up a bit because maybe you haven't seen that, because according to YouTube stats, people maybe switch off before we get a RefWatch. So letting people experience that. So maybe you watch till the end next week. Palace injuries, Andy. It's quite a long list, but I think one of the new ones was Lerma, and people were expecting that to maybe be the downfall of Crystal Palace. Obviously, that wasn't the case today. But there's a few on the list. I don't know if you've got the list there. If you want me to rattle through them. But if you've got the list, you can go ahead and go through them.
Well, so they've had Sam Johnston injured for a while in goal. Cheick Doucouré is out till probably June. Jefferson Lerma, the most recent interview, he was hinting that he might not play again this season, but it could be one of them where get him in the ice bath. Although they've been sort of playing him as a third centre back, which I didn't even think was his position. But anyway, they did have two on the list, Chris Richards and Noel Ward. Richards just started against West Ham and Ward was on the bench, so that's why I reckon he'll be back in the team. Again, Will Hughes is being just come back in. Another evergreen player, a bit like Ashley Young, seems to just be around forever and never retire. And then they signed this new lad, Mateus, who's meant to be the sort of young up-and-coming flair player, and he basically just hasn't played this season. But when you look at the starting 11 that's just played, you put Ward into that team, it is pretty much as strong as they're going to get. And obviously when we're talking about injuries, I just compare them to our injuries and say, what are you complaining about, basically? So they got a few, but we're in that crunch time of the season where they know they're not going to go down. They can just sort of take it easy. They made loads of changes in that West Ham game, I think, at half time, and then when it went to 4-1, they made loads of changes. So the manager's just seeing the minutes out. So I think they'll be all right. And likewise with us, I know we're going to get onto it now. We're getting to a point in the season where we're finishing a game and getting players back. There's like a net return on players rather than people getting injured. And I did say, you know, Isak in my fantasy team, now Wilson is back. Do I then just take Isak out because he's clearly going to do his ACL or something, because every time Wilson comes back, he gets injured. Palace are generally all right. They've had a few, but I think in general they're all right, even though they are missing a couple of the big hitters.
It's just Callum Wilson in the boot room loosening his studs just ever so slightly every week until he slips. obviously it's all blades these days. There's no tightening the studs. Yeah, we will move on to Newcastle. Obviously, we've had a week and a half, whatever it is, between games now. So, like I've said earlier, that probably means we're going to have one of the worst performances, if anything, like the rest of the season is to go off when we've had a bit of a break between games. But obviously, we're on a bit of a high. We've had a few good results of late. And obviously, Alexander Isak is in the form of, well, I don't want to say of his life, because maybe he's been on these forms in the past, but he's certainly in the form of his Newcastle career. Daryl May, obviously, you know, that front three worked so well against Spurs, and Andy says he wants to keep the formation and match Palace man for man to nullify their front three. Would you line up the same way, Gordon on the right, Barnes on the left, and Isak down the middle, or would you change it back up, and if he's fit, bring Miggy back or try Murphy for the field? Like, what would you look to do if players are back and available? Obviously, we're doing this before Eddie Howe's presser, as we always do. You know, because we want to get this out to you, lovely lot, before you got a chance to listen to it before the game.
I mean, to be honest, as far as the front three is concerned, I'm totally agree with that. You got to stick with that front three because it was so very productive and effective as well against Tottenham. You know, we all praised the effort of Gordon and Barnes to press, and obviously Isak with his ability to drop deep and whatnot and do his bits in the middle. The only thing I would be tempted by is the rest of the team, and that, because there's potential for certain players to come back, and I'm talking mainly about Trippier here. If Trippier is going to be coming back, which we expect him to, because it's been 4 or 5, maybe, well, it's been longer than that, hasn't it, since he went out with injury. So, but he is due back. So with Trippier coming back, do you utilise him as the right wing back instead of Kraft or whatever? Or was it Murphy we started at right wing back against Spurs? I can't remember now.
But was it back three with Murphy?
It was, yeah.
And Kraft was more of a centre back.
That's right. So, but I think Trippier can play that role if required. But I think it's the return of players elsewhere that might dictate how we set up. But I agree with Andy. I think if we can set up exactly the same way, then we might as well. And we can match Palace the way we did with Spurs. And then we can press and really impose ourselves on the game. And you know what? If we do that, I'm actually really looking forward to seeing it.
Well, Daryl's mentioned it, Andy, that the back line is probably where we're going to have the most options now, because Daryl's already mentioned you got Trippier coming back. We saw a cameo from Tino Livramento off the bench against Spurs. You had Lewis Hall coming off the bench against Spurs. You've got Kraft, you've got Lascelles, you've got Shaw, you've got Paul Dummett. Like,
we haven't got
what's happening?
We haven't got Lascelles.
Not Lascelles. who did I say? But yeah, no, Lascelles got injured, didn't he? So maybe we don't have any options. Okay, then.
Left and right back we do.
Yeah, left and right back we've got options. Ignore me. But yeah, but we have got players coming back to fill certain positions is what I'm getting at. So it's going to be a strange one. Like, obviously, you've got Dan Byrne in the form of his life at centre-back. Who would have thought it? Play him in the position that he plays in.
Crazy, isn't it?
Crazy. But is it a case of you don't fix something that isn't broken, or do you get your best players back in the positions where they should be playing? Like, we've seen this from Eddie Howe when, obviously, you know, famously when Bruno first came into the squad, all those, God, 2 years ago. Can't believe it's been that long ago, but fans were crying for him to just get in the team, and he couldn't because the players in form were playing and they couldn't break through. Do you do that now, or is there too much to play for?
Well, that thing with Bruno just seems so unthinkable now, doesn't it? Just like, we don't need him. We'll play Shelvey and Hendrick, it'd be fine. Crazy. But interesting, because obviously I think I mentioned about the setup against Spurs before. I did watch a little tactical video that online, and they were saying that the main reason we did that was because of how Spurs bring the fullbacks in. So they build up with like the fullbacks as defensive midfielders almost. So that's the reason we did that. So I don't think we necessarily need to do that against Palace for that reason. I just thought the way we were able to actually do a high press again without the midfield being completely exposed, it was nice to be able to do that, because obviously we've tried to play the same way this season, but there's been so many times where we've gone for the high press and then a team just plays two passes inside and we're overrun. I mean, we even saw Sunderland do it, like with that Pritchard or whatever he's called. So it's a bit worrying. But in terms of personnel, it would be nice to be able to bed a player back in rather than just throwing them straight in. And it does feel like we've maybe learned our lesson a little bit in terms of Willock and giving him the time off. And then we've also, I think, said the same thing with Miley and just sort of saying, don't rush yourself back. We'll deal without you until the end.
Even Anderson. To a degree.
Yeah, definitely. And he's obviously looks miles better for it as well. He's looked really good since he's come back. So with Trippier, the last thing we want to do is, you know, shoehorn him into a team when we don't necessarily, you know, don't need him, quote unquote, even though he's obviously been, you know, our best player since we've signed him, arguable, but, you know, one of the best players. So I'm not sure. So I'd be minded to stick with what we've got and see how the game goes. Obviously, that game plan worked against Spurs, who are a much superior opposition to Palace. We are going away from home, so I want to sort of stay compact again. I wouldn't really want to change too much, but it's nice to have that option where, you know, if you have Krafu's not looking as strong as he maybe has been, then you've got, you know, an unbelievable La Liga winning fullback to bring on, rather than having to chase the game and play Trippier for longer than he should be playing.
Yeah, true. I suppose all I have to talk about was the middle of the park, Daryl, and you know, now Bruno's off the leash. I don't want to say we're going to see the Bruno of old because he has done very, very, very well. But, you know, I think not of recent times, but early on in that spell of games where he couldn't get that yellow card, maybe we weren't seeing the Bruno that, you know, we were once were, who was a bit more, you know, he was holding back a bit and going into challenges.
He's a bit more Brazilian.
We're going to see a bit more of the Brazilian Bruno at this, you know, in this game. Or do you think he's learned that actually, do you know what? I don't need to be as aggressive as I'm used to being, and I can play this way, and maybe I don't need to get stuck in as I need to, and I can be a bit more calm and composed. And maybe he's been a better player for it once he's actually learned how to do that. Obviously, he's guaranteed to start, but. Again, we've got a couple of options, not as many as we had, because obviously we've give, you know, Willock the time off, and he's obviously injured, and Miley's injured, and so forth. But is it the same three for you in the middle? Do you go with, you know, with Longstaff, and who was the other one? I can't remember the other one.
Anderson.
Who was in there. Anderson, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course it was. I'm going to forget the Jordi Maradona.
I mean, you know, I think you're right. I think Bruno's learned in his spell where he's had to be really careful to play in a particular way, and it served him well. I mean, I think we can all agree it took him a little while just to bed into that, because we know how he likes to play his game. He likes to be a little bit rough and tumble here and there. And yes, picking up bookings isn't ideal, but it's just been part of his game. But yeah, he's done really well to develop that, and he's starting to grasp it, almost like a new style for him to play. And as much as he was spending a couple of times against Spurs absolutely pleading or praying that he wasn't going to get booked for some of the things he had done, because there was a shove in the back at one point and he turned to the referee and he was pleading that he wasn't going to get a yellow card. But yeah, I mean, the thing for me that was really impressive against Spurs was what we saw from Elliot Anderson, and it was very much carbon copy Joe Linton performance. And we weren't sure if we'd be able to have somebody who could do that job while Joe Linton was out injured. And we certainly saw against Spurs that Elliot Anderson can fill that job. He can fill that role. And I look forward to seeing more of him while Joe Linton is still out. And, you know, it is one of the criticisms that was originally labelled aimed at Elliot Anderson when he first broke into the team was he wasn't built. Like, he wasn't a very sturdy build. He was very slight and quite... I don't want to say weak, but he didn't have a lot of upper body strength and that. And that's
physical.
The physicality wasn't there. And it's something that he's clearly been working on, because we're starting to see the fruits of that labour now. And
it's like all our players, though, isn't it?
He's filled out a bit. Yeah, he's filled out a bit as well. And he's able to hold players off and put himself about and do that job. And it's really, really pleasing to see. And I think because of the lack of options, again, that we now find ourselves with in midfield, it's going to pick itself, isn't it? It's going to be Longstaff, Bruno and Anderson for sure.
Yeah, well, we will see. Obviously, like I said, we've recorded this before Eddie Howe's press conference. So what we don't know is if there's been any new injuries. And then obviously the one shining glimmer of light, which we're all holding on, it was that we have seen news, and it was broken, I think, early last week, or maybe it was middle of last week, that Callum Wilson's been in training. Videos of him training with Isak quite substantially. And also, I think Miggy Miggy on the training field, I think, and the Joe Linton, day in the life of Joe Linton. Who would have thought we needed that in our lives? But there we go. We got that when he signed his new contract and he was running around with Miggy. And even just seeing Joe Linton running around as well was something that you never thought you'd see given there. So there are players close to return. So we'll see from Eddie Howe's press conference just how close they are. But with that being said, we will turn our attentions to our predictions. With the predictions, I want a score and I want a minute of when Bruno's getting booked. I know we just said he's changed really, but I think it's inevitable he has to at least get one out of his system. So, Andy, mate, I'm going to come to you first for this one. What's your score prediction and what minute is he getting booked?
Should I ask the fan behind me what he thinks?
What does he think? He's raising the roof. What does he think?
Oh, he thinks Bruno's not getting carded. Well, that's not right. Anyway, I think I don't think we'll keep another clean sheet because it just seems like we're living on the edge of it with these clean sheets. It's like a throwback to last year. So I do think they'll score. They're obviously on a bit of a they've just had this sort of bump of goal scoring out of nowhere. But like I said before, in general, they're not really a goal scoring side. So I think they'll get one, but I think we'll get more. So I fancy us to win 2-1. Impossible not to predict Isak. So we'll go for Isak. I've also put Fabian Scher in my fantasy team this week, so Fab, to score one that isn't ruled out this time. And minute of booking, can I say less than a minute? No. I think he's just going to boot the ball away from kickoff and shout Vamos and get booked immediately. I'm going to say it'll be on about 80 minutes, he'll pull someone back or he'll kick the ball away and do some shithousery. It'll be something like that. So I'm going to say late in the game, you'll get a booking and the away end will go mental when he gets booked. So 2-1, Bruno booking, I'll say 81 minutes.
81 minutes, there you go. Daryl, mate, what's your predictions?
So I'm going to go with a 3-1 Newcastle win. I really wanted to say 2 minutes for the booking, but I don't want it to happen.
It's not the Price Is Right, though. It doesn't matter if you go over.
I don't want him to walk on a tightrope for 88 minutes in the game. So I'm going to say
he's walked on a tightrope for the last how many games? It doesn't matter.
That's true. That's true. No, in serious, I want to say 27 minutes for the booking, and for goal scorers, I'm going to say Isak with another brace. Isak,
maybe he'll get booked taking his shirt off after scoring.
Maybe, yeah. Why not? Yeah, so Isak brace, and I think Gordon with another one because he's in good form as well.
Nice. Well, I also think that Palace will get one. I don't think it'll get any more than one. I think maybe they've had their fill today, and I think that's all Luke. But also looking at their past results, that I don't think there's been many games this season where they have scored more than one. You know, maybe the last past 5-6 results, I think you can count on one hand how many they've scored more than one goal. And also, even their defeats, there's been a couple of like 3-4-0 defeats or whatever, but there hasn't been many where it's just been, you know, like them being, you know, ran through. It's been low scoring. I do agree with Andy. I think it will be 2-1. I'm going to go with Elliot Anderson, because I want that record of the most different goal scorers in a season. Shout. So Elliot Anderson's getting a goal. And plus, he deserves one. He should have got one against Spurs. And obviously, the one that he had chalked off last season. So he needs a goal. And then, obviously, Isak. I mean, you put your mortgage on Isak scoring. So, yeah, I'm going to go for that. And then for the Bruno card, I'm going to go 60 minutes. I'm right on the hour. And then he's going to Vamos it and football I was going to say into Roy Hodgson's face, but he's not going to be there. So in the spirit of Roy Hodgson, even though he's not dead, in the spirit of Roy Hodgson, he's going to do that. No, he's not. I think 2-1. I think is the actual score picture. Obviously, that's the important thing. We're just having a bit of a laugh with the Bruno cards, and we don't really want him to get booked. It's just it's been such a
think it'd be hilarious.
Really do.
Yeah.
On the pitch.
I really cannot wait for him to like put the ball out for a throw in or something, or win a tackle right in front of the away end and just turn to us and just go Vamos and just start giving it all. I just can't wait for that to happen. Can't wait.
He's celebrating his new house that he's bought.
We are.
Right, I think we'll draw a line under that one. What do you think about our predictions and what do you think about what we've said about Crystal Palace and Newcastle? Let us know in the comments below your predictions. And when do you think Bruno's getting a yellow card? It might not even be this game, so let us know which game it will be in the comments below. While you're down there, if you want to like this video, it means the world to us and it also gets this video in the hands of other Newcastle and Crystal Palace fans. And if you are a Palace fan, let us know what you think of this preview and let us know your predictions as well. You're probably buzzing after today's result, to be honest, and probably full of confidence and more power to you, because you know you've got every reason to be, especially after beating Liverpool as well the week before. So let us know, what do you think about this game? You're probably looking forward to it just as much as we are. So yeah, let us know in the comments. And if you want to go one step further after liking the video, hit the subscribe button and you'll get more of our videos in the feed. If you want to go one step further, we do have a membership program. It's $2.99 a month. That gets you early access to videos, just like this one, as well as exclusive access to certain content. And you also get access to the Telegram group. If you're listening on audio, all we ask is for a 5-star rating on whatever podcast channel you are listening on. Boys, I've enjoyed this one. I'm looking forward to this game. It's been a long time without Newcastle football. I've actually been watching some other teams. That's not normally me. I don't normally watch other Premier League football normally. I'm not that kind, but I've been craving Premier League. I've been craving the Barclays Premiership. Is it still the Barclays? I don't even know. It is Barclays Premier League, isn't it? So I've been craving it. So yeah, classic Barclays. So I've been watching some football over this weekend. Long may it return, the Newcastle fixtures, but we'll see. We will see you all in the next one. When is it? Sheffield United? Next one coming up thick and fast. So we will have that coming up.
Early prediction.
We will have that coming up thick and fast because that's at the weekend, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
That one. Yeah, so we'll be recording that probably on Thursday to get in your feeds. And if you haven't already checked it out, check out the kit video that me and Chris have done. I mean, I think we've got nearly 8,000 views on that. So if you haven't watched it, you're one of the only people that haven't in the subscribers. We've got look at the new kits. So go and check it out if you want to see what the kits are going to be like for next season. And also a massive thank you to everyone who has subscribed. We've just passed 11,000. So now we're on to 12,000. So get subscribing if you haven't subscribed, because we want to get to 12,000 by, I don't know, it took 10 months to get from 10 to 11. Let's do 9 months from 11 to 12. Let's do that. I'm not working that out in my head because I can't do that quick enough. But whatever that is, we'll do that. But thanks everyone for watching. We will see you in the next one. Bye everyone.
Podcast Network.